Isaiah writes these words, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now shall it not spring forth? Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Now may God bless the reading of his word today. I want to color that in this morning from a translation that's called The Message. And it quotes these two verses this way: "Forget about what has happened. Don't keep going over old history. Be alert. Be present. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? There it is. I'm making a road in the desert, a river in the Badlands." Now, I want to just sum those verses up from what we've read, from what we can see from them. What it's telling us about is there's some things that we need to forget about. In fact, the former things we need to forget about and begin to look forward to some things that are coming. Now, let's just stop for a moment and think about Christmas, because isn't that really what Christmas is about? God just stepped in and then he messed with everybody's plan. They had plans, they had aspirations at that time, but God stepped in and changed things. When you think about King Herod, it had to mess with him a little bit because he had a plan to be the king of the Jews. Yet this little baby who was born in Bethlehem was the Messiah, and he was born the king of the Jews. It messed up with the shepherds because the shepherds had this plan on just had another quiet night of watching sheep and making sure that no wild animal was going to attack them. God changed their plan. It messed with the religious leaders of that day because they were expecting a political Messiah. But here came this guy who was saying things like, "Go the second mile, love your enemy." They were saying, "Wait a minute, Jesus, this is not right. This is not what we wanted." It messed up everybody's plan. And think about the innkeeper, how it messed with his plan because he had no room in the inn. He had to go to plan B. But probably most of all, it messed with Mary and Joseph. Mary and Joseph was just this young couple. And they had this plan to make little Marys and little Josephs in their life. But God stepped in, and in the midst of their wedding preparation, he messed with their plan. An angel said to Mary, "Look, there's three things that are going to happen to you. One, you're going to get pregnant before your wedding day. And it's not going to be Joseph who's going to be the father of that child. And you're going to be a virgin. There's not going to be a man that's going to know you to have this child. It's really going to be a miracle. And three, by the way, Mary, this baby is going to be God incarnated." Now, that just messed their plans up just a little bit. They weren't expecting these things to happen, but they did happen. So everyone's attention today. Let's be honest. Has God ever messed with your plan? Has he ever just stepped in and said, look, that's not what I want you to do. I got a different way I want you to go. I remember back in the second grade, I had plans for my life back in the second grade. I did. Most of us do at those days. And, you know, I had plans to be a comedian, believe it or not. I did. Does anybody remember Flip Wilson? Huh? Yeah, I loved Flip Wilson. Yeah, he was great. He would dress up like a woman and call himself Geraldine. But that wasn't in my act that I was going to put together. And he would say things like, "The devil made me do it." Remember him saying that? And then he'd say things like, "Here comes the judge, here comes the judge." Well, God stepped in. He just messed up those plans. That's not his plan for me. So let me ask you, has God stepped in and messed your plans up? Maybe this last year. Maybe he did it in various ways. Maybe it was over health concerns. You know, health concerns can mess with your plans, can't they? Maybe he did it in a change in your family. You've seen a loved one go to glory. Maybe he brought something into your life because of this bad economy that you weren't expecting. The point is, we should not, I'm not telling you not to make plans, but I believe that we have to be receptive to when God steps in and changes the plan. We have to be open to what God is doing in our life at any given moment. Sometimes God needs to step in and just mess everything up to show us what we really need to do. So I want to share with you, there's three things here. We're not going to go into questions yet, but there's three questions we're going to get to. But these questions are based on reality. So let me share these realities with you. Remember that God is trying to get your attention. Let's say that together. Remember, God is trying to get my attention. All right. Now also remember, God most often than not has a different plan than what your plan is. And thirdly, he wants you to trust him. So with those three realities, I want us to look at three questions that we really need to ask ourselves today. Everyone looking, everyone listening, here's the question. You can fill this out in your bulletin. Is God trying to get your attention? Our attention is the way I put it, because it's plural, but let's point it to ourselves. Is God trying to get our attention? I want to be honest with you. I think it's a question that we need to ask ourselves more than we really do. In Mary and Joseph's case, that first Christmas was a Christmas of great change in their life. Remember Matthew, the first chapter, verse 18, the Bible says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this fowl. By the way, God didn't say, Mary and Joseph, I'm going to plan my plan around your plan. He's saying, this is the way that's going to happen. God has that right in his sovereignty. And then it goes on to tell us, and his mother, Mary, was betrothed to Joseph. And before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Now, this was a fantastic plan, by the way. It was so unbelievable. It was a one-in-a-lifetime kind of thing, and really a once-in-a-historical-lifetime kind of thing. It's never been before, and it's never happened afterward. God has used supernatural means to come in and mess their plan up. And he's using these things to convince them about himself. He sent an angel. And the angel said, hey, here's what's going to happen. You're going to be the father of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. You're going to be the father of God in the flesh. And he's coming to earth. And he's going to change earth in such an immense, drastic way. We're going to change from B.C. to A.D., Now, I want to be clear this morning, and listen to me very carefully. We don't need an angel to hear from God. We don't. The Bible tells us in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verse 2, that some of us have entertained angels unaware. Now, I take that verse quite literally, by the way. I believe that that kind of thing does happen. But I'm not sure if I'm part of those who are the some of us have entertained angels unaware. I can't say specifically that I've ever had an angel in my life. But I do know this. I can hear from God, and I do hear from God. How do you hear from God? Well, he speaks to us in impressions. Now listen to me very carefully. When the devil gives us an impression, we call that a temptation. You see something. You desire it. You want it. It's not good for you. That's called temptation. But when God gives us something, he inspires us with good ideas, great ideas, with good things. See, that's the difference. Temptations, bad things, impressions, or inspiration is good things. You know who puts these good things in your mind? Well, it is God. God is speaking to us all the time if we would just listen. But most of the time we say, I'm not willing to listen to God. The problem is, we're not listening. We're not hearing. We're listening to a myriad of other things. Do you know how we could describe our culture today? Now think about this. We are the TGIF culture. Thank goodness it's Friday. No, we're not that. Twitter, Google, iPhone, and Facebook. Isn't that how we communicate? It is. Amen. I was in a meeting this past week, and someone was telling me about their iPhone, and I upgraded from BlackBerry to Android now, and that was a big leap of faith for me, and I really enjoy it. But someone was telling me with their fourth generation iPhone, they can speak into it and say, how old's Chuck Norris? And then this voice will come back, and it will say, Chuck Norris is 71 years old, 3 days, 13 hours, 10 minutes old. Something like that. It gives this precise age. Any question that you want to think of could be given to that. Siri, is that right? For those who are iPhone enthusiasts, you speak to Siri and she just questioner, she gives it out. How do we know about each other? We do it through Twitter. We do it through Facebook. Do it through these mediums. That's who we are. And are we really, do we have time to listen to God with all these other things going on? I want to read something to you. It's going to be on the screen. It's from the psalmist, David. He writes these words. God speaks to us. I just don't know that we're listening. Here's what God says in verse 8 in the 81st Psalm. Hear, O my people, and I will admonish you. O Israel, if you will listen to me. Why does God want to get your attention? God wants to get your attention, the TGIF generation. He wants to get our attention because really he's trying to spare some pain in our lives. I can think about some of the immense difficulties that I've went through life. It's simply because that I have not listened to God. I have followed my way. The book of Proverbs tells us that there's a way that seems right to man, but the end of that way is death. A lot of things in life might look right. They may feel right, but they're dead ends. They're disasters. So have you ever made a decision in life that you thought, wow, that's a surefire guarantee for success? And then actually when you got through with that surefire guarantee for success, it turned out to be an unmitigated failure. We've all probably been there. We had plans, and they just didn't go as we had intended them to, and God stepped in and messed it up. No one knows the future. Mary and Joseph didn't, other than what God told them that day. He was trying to get their attention. Listen, Mary. Listen, Joseph. Here's the way that it's going to be. You've got these plans. Here's my plan for you. God says this. I want you to listen to me. Are we really listening to him? Because he is trying to get our attention. You know, the thing about God is he can see around the corner. He can see what's ahead. He can direct us to problems and direct us through problems. He can direct us around problems, whatever the case may be. But God wants to direct your life. In fact, David in the 23rd Psalm says, the Lord is my shepherd. You know what he's literally saying there? He's saying, the Lord is my manager. He's the one that is in charge of my life. If we're just willing to listen to him, I'm not going to say life's going to be pain-free. I'm not going to say the difficulties will not arise and come. But you can rest assured, if you're listening to him and he leads you into a heartache, he's got better things in store through that heartache. That's what Christmas says to me. Here's another thing that we need to ask ourselves. Does God have a better plan? Well, the Bible declares that God knows the end from the beginning. A few months back, you may remember, I did a sermon series based on Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, verse 11. And Jeremiah just writes, for I know the thoughts, and this is God speaking directly, that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not evil, to give a future and a hope. Those two words in there, future and hope, are central to who God is toward us. I've circled them in my Bible. I hope you have too. Because my plans are not as good as God's plans. God says, my plans for your life are good plans. A lot of people think if I give my life to God, if I'm willing to say, okay, God, you're in charge, it's going to be miserable. He's just this cosmic killjoy that just sucks all the fun out of life. No fun, no parties, just boredom. I'm going to become some kind of Amish person. Well, God's not saying that. You need to understand, God is telling us he loves us and he's designed us for his purpose here on this earth. So let me tell you some things about God's plan, or God's purpose in your life. These are things that you can write down in your bulletin as well, take home with you. I want you to understand that God's plan is for your life is bigger, and it's always bigger than your plan. Why is that? Because he's got the God perspective. He sees things from a larger overview than what we can see them from. When we see life from where we're standing. But when God looks at us, he sees it from his perspective. Mary and Joseph just wanted to get married and settle down and be this nice, happy couple. But God said, I want to bless the world through you. He changed their plan. If you don't get anything else that I say today, I hope and pray that you're going to get this. God has something in store for your life. Now, I may not be giving a virgin birth. That's already happened. But God does have something special in store for your life. As I watched these young ladies up here today, I was so blessed by what God was doing through them. Their life is ahead of them. And I pray that they'll go with God. See, our plans are little. For me, as a second grader in Mrs. Jett's class, my plan was to be that comedian. Man, I can't tell you how much more happier than I'm doing this. I would have failed at that. But I'm so grateful that God had another plan in my life. Has God messed with your plan in any way? Second thing, God's plan for your life is harder than your plan. You need to remember that. Christ said in the 8th chapter of Mark, along around verse 35, take up your cross and follow me. You know why so many people cut out on God? Why they tune God out and they tune into what's going on in the culture? It's because God's plan is a hard plan. It's never easy. Anything in life, I have learned, if it's worthwhile, it is typically never easy. And what do we want to do? We want to take the easy way out. We don't want to follow through with things. And when God steps in and messes things up and it's going to be a difficulty, oh, we want to try the path of least resistance. And God's really telling us, it's what he's saying through Christmas. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard, in fact. Why is that? Because God is more interested in your character than your comfort. We have messed over what Christianity really is in America. Christianity is not about having 4 cars and a 5-car garage and all the money in the world. God is not, it's not his plan to make the world our personal oyster where we can have anything and everything we want. God is interested in making you more holy than he is making you more comfortable. He wants us really to grow up. It's so sad that we have become such an immature society, a Christian society, where we equate blessings on material things. Now, there's stewardship responsibilities and all that. I understand all those things. But I'm telling you, it's really sad. He wants us to grow up. He wants us to be people of character, of integrity. Man, I've watched some people at this church go through some pretty difficult things, losing jobs and still honoring God, having difficulties brought upon them financially because of this economy, and yet they still honor God. Can I be frank with everyone today? God is not going to take all the problems out of your life. Okay, thank you. He's not. I hope you're going to be here for New Year's Day because we're really going to talk about that New Year's Day. So don't lay out all night. Come to church Sunday morning. And we're going to talk about who's going to go with us from Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verses 5 and 6 on the New Year. That's a plug for New Year's Day, by the way. God's interested in making us people of character, of integrity, that reflect his son. Not going to take all the problems out of your life. Have you ever seen someone that got everything they want? What do we call them? Spoiled? What's the other word? There's a 4-letter word with that. Brat. If you get everything you want, you're going to be worthless. You're going to be hard to get along with. When Mary and Joseph didn't get what they wanted, they said, okay, God, we're going to cooperate with your plan. It wasn't easy to do that. Okay, I'll be this unwed mother, and I'm going to have this child that's going to be from the Holy Spirit overshadowing me. Think about how difficult it had to be for her to share her story. Mary, are you expecting? Yeah, I am. Well, you're not married yet. Yes, I'm not. Well, whose fault is it? It's God's. I mean, really? Freeload and fly there this morning. Imagine Joseph. How he must have felt. I mean, at one point he was saying, put away privately. Do you know what that literally means? He's going to have her killed. Really. Because under Jewish law, with her being pregnant outside of marriage, meant death. And then the angel came to him and said, look, Joseph, fear not. What's with her is from God. It's from the Spirit of God. And don't you think after they really started believing it, don't you think they started saying, why, God? Why? Why are we doing this? And then think about further into the story. She's in Nazareth, and a few days before she's to deliver, she's supposed to get up and go from Nazareth. Now, I've been to Israel, and I could only imagine how difficult the journey had to be on a donkey for a pregnant woman from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Riding. Now, think about it, ladies. When you were expecting your child, would you want to get on a donkey 3 days before having that child and making a journey like that? No, no. I remember when our kids were born, Brenda had Skyline, and that sort of helped the process. So note to the younger ones out there, Skyline works. I'm sure that they must have really thought, Lord, what in the world are you doing? Why would you pick this way to bring your child in the world? Why even, not only would you pick me, but why would you pick this type of method? He's going to come as a baby. He's going to be born in a barnyard, a cave. And that's about as lowly as you can get. King of kings, the Lord of lords, the King of the Jews, comes to this world. There's not a cable TV channel to announce it. There's no Twitter. There's no other thing to proclaim this. It's really about as low as you can go. So let me say this, summing up this second point. God's plan is always harder than our plan. But my friend, it is very, very rewarding. His plan is rewarding because the Bible says no one has ever seen, no one has or heard, or even imagined the wonderful things of God. When we cooperate with God's plan, man, it just breathes fresh air into the thing. I want you to see three things on top of this as well, and I'm sort of going in threes this morning, but I don't want to be remiss if I don't mention this, and I think these are in your notes as well. God wants us to do three things with this. He wants us to know about him. God says, I want to get to know you. I want you to get to know me. I want you to get to know about me. So really, I want to ask the question, do you really know Jesus Christ today? Oh, you may know about God. But he says, listen, I want you to have a relationship with me. Not a religion, but a relationship. I want you to know and discover and fulfill the purpose that I have planned for you in this life. There's something unique that God has in store for you if you're willing to listen. He wants us to develop our talents and our skills that build our character toward him. We're more reflecting like him. The Bible teaches that our good works will follow us. It's talking about eternal rewards. So I want you to listen to this last question today. And that's probably the most important question that we're going to ask today. Do I really trust God? Now think of some of the words, the imagery that's given in the Christmas story, which we've looked at, we've read before I even got up here. How can this be, seeing that I know not a man? Think about Joseph calling the wedding off, which I've already mentioned. I wanted to just break it all off and really put her away and then put her to death. Just think about the amount of trust it had to take. When this all was going on, your fiance comes to you and says, oh, I'm pregnant, and it's not you, and it's no one else. God had a plan for their life, and his plan was bigger, it was better, but it required trust. So do you trust God today? God's plan was so different from their plan and their life. They had to have trust. All they could do was trust. I've been there in my life as well. I've been there quite frequently, where the only thing that I could do was trust God. See, that comes from relationship. It doesn't come from religion. It comes from a personal relationship. It's not ritual. It's not ceremony. It's relational. It's not just a bunch of regulations. In the Bible, the book of Hebrews tells us in chapter 11, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen." We could take the word faith out of there and put the word trust in there. Are you really trusting God? Because without trust, it's impossible to please God. So your plan right now, has God messed it up? Maybe he has. Think about it. Are you really trusting him? This Christmas, you may be feeling discouraged because 2011 was not such a good year. It was tough. I know in this congregation, there are probably people that walked in and they're lonely. They're feeling just beside themselves. There are people that are lonely at Christmas time. There are people at Christmas time that have things put upon them that man, it's just, it seems awful. Was God trying to get your attention? Is God telling you to trust him in this situation that you're in? For some of you, this may be the first Christmas after your divorce. Or maybe it's the first Christmas after the death of a loved one. And I want you to know that I'm sorry. I hurt with you. These things are horrible to deal with. I met with a dear lady this past week. And her husband's been gone for 8 years, and she still grieves for that. Still hurts over that. I mean, you just, some things you just seemingly can't get over. Can you imagine go through Christmas knowing that one of your children were called into glory? Now, that's tough. But God uses these things. We have to trust him in these things. Fact is, none of us know what's going to happen to us this next year, right? Fact is, none of us have assurances that we are even going to be here next week. That's why it's important to trust God. If you want to try to find someone that's going to tell you the future, save your money. No one can do that. The only one that can tell you your future is God himself. And if you say that you're willing to trust him, here's what he says. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Doesn't mean that things will be easy. Doesn't mean that problems magically disappear. But it means that he is with you. And then you have this miraculous, wonderful guarantee that he is going to take you to heaven someday. So maybe your personal life right now, you're looking back, you may be your first 20 years, maybe your first 30 years, your 40 or 50 years, you have tried to practice your own plan. You have not embraced the change that God wants to bring into your life. And believe me, God is all about change when it comes to us. He never changes. It is you and I that need to change. In fact, prayer is a change in us. When we pray, we're not trying to appeal to God to change. I'm not going to change God. It's about changing me. So today, if it's been 20 years, 30 years, or 10 years, whatever the case may be, you can start today. You can start right now and make the rest of your life the best of your life. Why? Because you're trusting God. I want you to know that you can experience God in a real profound way and know that he'll be with you every step. Understand that you can ultimately and legitimately, rationally understand that God is with you. So let me say some things today in conclusion about this message. You know, I had this message set to preach back on December, I'm going to have to look at the date, December 20th, 2009. Had this message ready to preach. But something happened on the way to December 20th, 2009. It was December 16th, 2009. It changed things for me. I went through what I usually do in the morning, and one of the things I usually do in the morning is I go to the YMCA, Fairfield YMCA, especially on a Wednesday morning, it was a Wednesday morning, to do cardio spin class. Got into class, felt horrible, felt terrible. The proverbial elephant sitting on my chest. And for some of you that are guests here today, you say, well, what was going on? Well, here's what was going on. I was having what is called a heart attack. And that's exactly what I had happen. Drove myself home from the Y, which was stupid, by the way. I remember turning the corner at Morris Road and Princeton Road, thinking, I'm not going to make it home. I'm going to pass out. But I made it home. Called my wife from upstairs. She come down and looked at me. I was sweating, cold sweat and gray. I said, drive me to the hospital. She said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to call the ambulance. That's what happened to this message for December 20th, 2009. Didn't have the chance to preach it. God wanted me to preach it today. Lord, you could have just told me no. So I really believe that someone here today, maybe several people, really need to hear what God is trying to say. Do you really trust Him? Have you called Him into your life? Have you turned from your sin? Let me share with you how it's changed things for me, that life-changing event, because it was a life-changing event. It changed things for me because I began to realize that life is very important. Not that I didn't before, but I began to really realize that every day counts. First and foremost, it counts for God. So every day, I try to make sure that I honor Him in what I say and what I do. Need to do that. Because if I'm called out of this life, I want it to be said of me that I was a good and faithful servant. Secondly, I realized, man, I need to take care of my body. It's not a trash bin. It's not a receptacle of trash. So there's some things I did away in my life. I don't visit drive-thrus at McDonald's or Wendy's anymore. Nothing against those organizations, but I don't do that. And it's made a difference in my health, a big difference in my health. About 41, 42 pounds difference in my health. So, and Brenda can tell you today that I'm a different husband, a better husband. For those who have walked through this with me as well in this church, I hope you can say that Mark's a better pastor. Pastor Mark has been changed by that altering event. God stepped in, He messed things up, but I'm telling you, it was for good. So I ask this simple question. Has God changed some things in your life? Has He stepped in and messed some plans up? And if He has, how have you reacted to them? Have you tried to listen to God and realize that He's got a better plan? He's got a better way. He's got something special. And then move yourself to what He's doing and not what you're doing. Today, God desires to have this relationship with you that's so phenomenal that you can have peace, safety, security in your life. Not that there's no problems, but that you know He's with you. You can have peace on earth right now when Jesus Christ comes into your heart. So, if you haven't done that today, I want to tell you, you can have that opportunity to trust Him today. to ask him into your life. Would you all stand with me? I'm going to ask every head to be bowed and every eye to be closed as Dwayne prepares to lead us in an invitational song. And I want to pray here in just a brief moment or two. But my friend, you may be a member here and you may be a guest here, or you may have frequented the place but haven't joined yet. Ask yourself that question. Has God messed with my plans? Go ahead and ask yourself that. You're looking back on 2011, and you think, I can't get through this. I want you to know that God stands ready to reveal himself to you. Remember what I said about impressions? God gives us these impressions. We can see him in situations. I look back at my difficulty back in 2009. I realized it was God getting my attention about some things in my life. I listened, and I'm doing my best to listen today. So you may be going through a very difficult situation, or maybe mildly difficult situation, but God's speaking in that situation through impressions. If he's impressed upon you that he is trying to change some things in your life, let me challenge you to embrace those changes. Follow him. Go with him. And that will make a difference. If you don't know Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, you may be familiar with God. You may be familiar with some of the things I've preached about concerning the birth of Jesus Christ. But that does not guarantee you interest into heaven. You have to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Turn from your sin and live for him. That's the hard part. Would you be willing to do that today? I'm going to pray here, and I'm going to ask God to give everyone strength today that needs to make a decision in the affirmative. Trust God. Go with God. Ask him into your life. Let's pray. Again, Father, we thank you. You've loved us with a love that is everlasting, and you have told us that you have thoughts toward us. You had thoughts toward Mary and Joseph, and what they had planned for their life was nothing in resemblance to what you had planned for their life. Lord, you were forever going to change the world through Mary and through Joseph being her husband. And we just praise you for their receptiveness. Father, I pray that we're receptive today. Lord, I pray during this invitation time that the shackles that have held people back, the chains that have embraced our moving ahead would be shed today. For some, it's that relationship with Jesus today. For others, Lord, they've been a Christian, but they have tried to adapt their plan into your plan. And Lord, in just a few moments here, as we go into sing, having thy own way in our life, Lord, I pray that is our motto in life as members of North Fairfield Baptist Church. So Lord, speak during this time. I thank you for your word and ask that it would go to its intended receiver. Pray, Father, it won't return void. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.